amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles for a few moments as we move toward Holy Communion this morning, would you please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. This is commonly referred to as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. It is this meal that Jesus shared, this Passover meal, and gave them through what he said at that meal, what he did at that meal, a revelation of what he was about to do at the cross. And it became a pattern for the early church all the way into the 21st century for us to commemorate, to celebrate, to memorialize, to proclaim, amen, the salvation that has come through his sacrifice on the cross. It's an opportunity for many things to occur in our life this morning. If you are one of those ritualistic, routine Christians that have lost the flame and fire of the first love, this is an opportunity for that love to be rekindled within your heart. If you've never even known the first love and it's a foreign term to you, it's an opportunity for that love to be kindled in your heart today. It can be kindled or rekindled as the cross comes into view, as you really understand, appreciate, and appropriate in your heart and life what Jesus has done for you in his suffering for you at Calvary. He didn't just die a neat little death. Jesus suffered and was tortured to death in our behalf. And what is so glorious about that in terms of his great love for us is that he could have come down from that cross at any moment. He did not cease to be God incarnate when they hung him on that cross. He could have called, he told Peter, thousands of angels to come destroy this earth and deliver him. But he didn't do it. As a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth, and they better be glad he did not, because he is called the commander-in-chief of heaven's armies. Can you say amen? All he had to do was say it, and this earth would have been destroyed, and man's hope of salvation would have been over. And I'm sure the devil screamed to Jesus on that cross, "They ain't worth it. Look at them. The one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where is he? Is he standing with you? He couldn't even pray with you 1 hour without falling asleep. He said, I'll never, never deny you. And yet he stood three times and swore with an oath. This wasn't a four-letter word. For a Hebrew to swear by God was a serious offense against God, because he had commanded them not to do it. He was so afraid of what might happen to him in terms of persecution. Peter denied Jesus three times, verbally, vocally. And it bit him in the heart when he did it, and he went out and he wept bitterly. But he still denied him three times. And Satan has got to be screaming in Jesus, because Jesus knew he was going to do it. It was while he was hanging on the cross, he knew Peter was going to deny him. He told him before he even went to the cross what was going to happen. They all ran and hid and closed the door and locked it. The people he healed didn't show up in his behalf. Two Marys came, his mother and the Mary out of whom he cast seven devils, and they came. But everybody else abandoned him. And I can just hear the devil screaming over and over again, they ain't worth it. And then the one thief on the right hand says to him, if you're who you say you are, come down from the cross, save yourself and save us. And the one on the left, he said, let him alone. He has committed no sin. We're getting justice for what we have done. But this man did no wrong. And then he turned to Jesus, not asking to be delivered from the cross, but asked to be delivered from sin and its power and its consequence. He said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And I loved how quickly and how perfectly Jesus answered him. Today! If you try to complicate salvation, you're not talking about the same Jesus. He came to seek and to save. Amen. Not to say, well, of course you're asking for it now. You're hanging here on this cross. You're getting ready to face eternity. Of course you want to be forgiven. No. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. By the way, he said where he was going when he left that body. Amen. And he told the man, you're going to be with me. Can you say amen? So that clears up some theological error that's out here in big time. But all you have to do is listen to Jesus. Amen. And take the Bible as it's written. And get your eyes off the personalities of men. And get it on the person of Jesus Christ. And let God be true. And let every man, that includes you and me. Come on, it's got to work for you too. Amen. If you can't show me Bible, forget about it. And if I can't show you Bible, you ought to forget about it. But if it's in the Bible, we ought to stand on it. Hallelujah. Because it's God's truth and it'll set us free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. And he took the cup. By the way, this was a Passover meal. It was a Jewish holy holiday. It was commemorative of and celebrating what God did when he brought the nation of Israel up out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt. And as they sat to eat the Passover meal together, Jesus used that occasion. In fact, this became so significant, Paul said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So an understanding of the Passover is going to give you an understanding of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. Can you say amen? Oh, I love one thing about the Passover that we're going to celebrate here today. Amen. When they took a lamb and they slain it, that was the orders. Amen. The death angel is going to visit. It's the last plague in Egypt. It is the one that is going to break their heart to hold you in bondage any longer. It is the one that's going to set you free to serve me and to worship me. Praise God. The death angel is coming tonight. But you take a lamb without a blemish. You take it out of the flock. You slay it. Amen. You take and the blood. And they couldn't go down to Lowe's or the Home Depot or Walmart and get a brush. They used hyssop. They used the plant hyssop because it was thick and they could dip it in the fresh blood of that lamb. And they put it on the top and they put it on both sides and it dripped from the top because it was full of blood when they splashed it on the top of the doorpost. And it came down and dripped on the threshold. So when they were done applying the blood, the top, both sides and the threshold was blood red. Amen. And God said, do this and then boil the lamb and eat the meat thereof. Can you say amen? And eat it. Eat it after you apply the blood and you eat of the lamb. You know what he said? He said, eat it with your staff in your hand. In other words, you're coming out of Egypt. And when you do this, you get packed up and ready to go. Hallelujah, because this is the final plague, but it's going to cause your enemies to have to let you go. So when you eat this lamb, eat it with your staff in your hand. Get ready to come out of bondage. Get ready to be set free. Get ready to go to Canaan. Hallelujah. Amen. Eat it. Eat it. You can see the father of that family after applying the blood and the mama cooking the lamb. You can see him standing there eating with his staff in his hand. Hallelujah. Why are you eating with your staff in your hand? Because this is it, folks. They can't hold us no longer. Pharaoh can't hold us no longer. We're not going to free at last. Free at last. Great God Almighty. They're going to be free at last. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what you need to do this morning? I don't know if you're going to do it or not. You may not. You may go through the routine and ritual just like always. Like you've been used to at church. I hope you're not used to what we do here. Can you say amen? I hope we break the routine. I hope we break the pattern here. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're ready to be delivered as we receive Holy Communion this morning. I hope you eat it ready to be healed, ready to be set free, ready, amen, for the first love to be rekindled, ready to be revived. Hallelujah. I hope you eat it with your spiritual staff in your hand. Amen. Yeah, it's supposed to be something better than what you were expecting and what you're used to. You're not supposed to eat it thinking about your bondage. You're supposed to eat it thinking about your freedom. Thank you for the patty cake. Now, how about the hand clap? That ain't for me. That's for God's truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you like going through the routine. Maybe you enjoy that. I don't know. But I don't like it. I can't live with it. I serve a God that's too great and too good. Can you say amen? I represent a mighty God. I represent a great King. I represent a wonderful Savior. I represent a prayer answering God. I represent one that said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I'm here to represent. I don't know the sign for that, but I probably got it wrong. This probably means something awful, but some of you young people go, I'm here to represent. Are you down? I got it wrong, didn't I, sis? Give me the right sign. Come on. I'm so glad I'm not on national television. Give me the represent. You know how to represent. You're young. That ain't it, right? You don't know. You old school. Old school can't tell me nothing. Hallelujah. You said, Brother Miller, why? What did she say? You've seen it, but you can't remember it? Well, let's just forget the whole thing. Hallelujah. That's the best thing we could do. Just let me tell you, I'm here. All right. Represent. All right. I'm here to... She said, we ain't right. You say, Brother, but you're not serious enough. Honey, I just got delivered and set free from a stroke, and I'm supposed to be paralyzed on my left side. Amen. If you want to sit here and be somber, you sit here and be somber. I came here with joy and victory. I came here to celebrate my Jesus today. Amen. If you want to go to the church of the frozen chosen so you can blend in with your bad attitude, can you say, man, sit there with your bad attitude. But you didn't come in a church with a bad attitude. Amen. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. He's put a song in my heart. I want somebody to hear about this and be glad and take courage and take hope today. Hallelujah. I'm not part of those people in a religious box that are so used to going to church, they really don't expect any more of God. We live in defeat and we live beneath our privilege of power. They ate that meal with their staff in their hand. Why? Because God told them, this is it. You get ready to leave bondage behind. Hallelujah. You're coming out. Act like it. Praise God. Live like it. Three days in the hospital. Every test in the world. Says you can leave. They took the purple band off of me. Purple band means you can't get up and go anywhere by yourself because you might fall. They took it off of me, which meant he ain't gonna fall. He don't need no help. Hallelujah. I'm gonna tell you something about hospitals. You don't walk out of them. Even if you're a football player. They push you in the chair. Because if you should stumble and fall, it's a legal thing. They're liable. Sit in the chair and get pushed out. You see this big guy that looked like he bench pressed a Buick getting pushed in a wheelchair out of a hospital. Because they don't want him to trip and fall and sue them. But they were so convinced after 3 days of what the Lord has done for me. Amen. I was standing there waiting on him to grab the wheelchair. And what did the nurse say, Pamela? She's there listening. She's got waiting for her healing in her knee. And you know what she said? She said, it's up to you. Well, if it's up to me, I want to glorify God. Amen. He's done it. Don't push me out in no chair. I'll walk out, thank you. Can you say me? And they let me walk out because they knew something has occurred. They weren't worried about me falling. Hallelujah. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. Amen. That's talking about falling back into sin. But let me get into it. We probably won't get into this whole message today because time is fleeting. Part of this is testimony. What should communion be? Should it just be sentimentality? Should we just be remembering Christ and get a tear in our eye? And we should feel something. We should feel great love for him. But we should also understand that at that cross, Jesus has provided for our deliverance from Satan's bondage. We're not slaves to sin and we're not subject to Satan anymore through the blood of that cross. We should have this communion with a spiritual staff in our hand. Whatever is holding you back, you should make a proclamation. It's not going to hold me back no more. Amen. Amen. Do you expect God to do anything for you because of what he's done for you at Calvary? Do you believe that unlocked doors to you? That opened, amen, the windows of heaven in your behalf. Praise God. What does it mean to have full reconciliation with God? What does it mean to have every sin forgiven and forgotten? What does it mean to be called the sons of God? What impact does that have? See, God didn't, you are not an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You have been saved by grace, but you are not a sinner anymore. You are not sinlessly perfect either. But you're not a sinner. For if any man committeth sin, 1 John says, that means to habitually live in. Habitually live in. Habitually live in. Not have a bad attitude and then say, I'm sorry, I was wrong about that. Lord, please forgive me. That's the normal Christian life. You can't be sinlessly perfect. If you could, there's another way to salvation. That's by never, ever needing forgiveness. Can you? And there is no such thing. But you can be sincerely honest. And when we fail, not if, we ask God and, if necessary, people to forgive us. And we get up and we follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But you're not a sinner. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to obey it and fulfill it in the lust thereof. Can you say amen? If any man lives habitually in sin, the Bible said he's of the devil. Plain and simple. His daddy isn't God. You say, but he was baptized at 12. I'm not talking about what he was. I'm talking about what he is. There are churches that will tell you that's it. It's not it. This salvation cannot be earned by works, but it is demonstrated by works that it has occurred. The Bible said, by grace you're saved through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. No one can boast. No one will be in heaven that can say they deserve to be there. Not one individual, for all have sinned. All, say it with me, all, and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one, the scripture declares. Can you say amen? But then how in the world are we going to get to heaven? The grace of God. The grace of God. By grace you are saved through faith. But the Bible said we don't. What shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, make no mistake about it, his servants you are whom you obey. Whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness, whoever you yield your members. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Grace is not a license to sin. And God never intended it for that. And people that are playing that game are going to lose big time because the enemy is waiting for those kind of people that want the whole world and heaven too. And you got to make a choice about that. Can you say, man, you can't have both. Little Johnny in Sunday school. Children are very honest. Sometimes they're brutally honest. And he's in Sunday school and he hears a message on heaven. And he hears a message on hell. And you know, he's pretty convinced that he doesn't want to go to hell. And he really wants to go to heaven. So the teacher, he's pretty precocious, and the teacher just wants to find out, did he get it? Did he get the, with an understanding? And she says, Johnny, where do you want to go when you die? She thought, of course, he would choose heaven. But he was honest. He said, well, he said, and then she said, well, Johnny, come on, answer me. Where do you want to go when you die? Do you want to serve Jesus or do you want to serve the devil? She thought that would get the answer out of him. Then he answered. He said, I want to serve Jesus while I'm alive. I want to serve the devil while I'm alive. And I will be a servant of Jesus when I die. And you know, that's honest from the kid, but there's religions. And within the Christian faith, there is denominations that literally teach you can live for the devil while you're living. But you'll be a servant of Jesus when you die. Did you know at most funerals, hardly anybody's ever lost? Everybody seems to get in somehow. Every funeral. You go to funerals, you know what they're like. All these people out here that are on their way to heaven or hell are hearing that somehow, no matter how you live or who you serve, listen, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse says, but we are created unto good works. When salvation occurs, there is a litmus test that it has occurred. You can't be sinlessly perfect, but you are not Satan's slave anymore. He is not your daddy anymore. Can you say amen? You have been translated, if it has occurred, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Just like Israel was brought out of Egypt. You have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. What has happened? You have been translated into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? What is that? Is that some mystical thing? No, it's very practical, personal, and precise. Kingdom means the rule or the domain of a king. It's where a king rules in unquestioned authority. Wow! You didn't hear me. It's where a king rules in unquestioned authority. It's when there is no authority higher than the king's as far as he reigns, or he cannot reign at all. That's why in the pattern prayer we're to pray is, thy kingdom come. Not only to this earth, and it's coming. Come in me, here and now. Thy will be done. That's that acquiescence. That's that submissiveness. That's saying, not my will but thine be done to the king. Not the will of my flesh but the will of my reborn spirit be done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. How many people are sitting in church this morning on their way to hell? Because someone told them, that's it. Live for the devil. Every day of your life. But you got saved when you were 12 or 20. And if you get saved when you're 12, well, I got saved at 12. I got saved at 12. I went back into sin, but I came back to God. And from the day I was saved, I knew the difference between light and darkness. I knew the difference between God and Satan. And I knew at 12 years old, I can't walk out of this church and just do everything I used to do with no consideration of God. Why? Because my salvation at 12 was very real. Amen. I walked away from God. Amen. But he never walked away from me, and it never got out of my heart. That truth has been in my heart. Amen. And at 21, going on 22, I made a full-blown commitment to follow Jesus with everything I am and everything that I have. Praise God. And now I'm going on 66, and I love him more than I ever thought I could love him, need him more than I ever thought I could need him, want to bring honor and glory to his name. Are you perfect? No, I am not. I am a human being. I have faults. I have failures, but I love my king. Make no mistake about it. I love him. I want to serve him, because if any man be in Christ, if salvation truly occurs, he is a new creature. Can you say amen? Come on. on, if you're sitting here, don't let no man deceive you by any means, the Bible said. Neither the fornicator, that means someone who lives in that habitual sin without conviction or repentance. He lives in it habitually. Neither the fornicator nor the idolater. You say, Brother Bumble, I don't bow to that fat-bellied Buddha, that image that's sitting in my garden. Well, number one, get it out of your garden. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But listen, you don't have to bow to a fat-bellied Buddha. All you got to do is covet what this world has. Amen. For covetousness is the same thing spiritually as bowing to that idol of stone, as far as God sees it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not, cannot be in him. Can you say amen? Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Literally, what fellowship hath Jesus with the devil? You got to serve somebody. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls. You might own tanks. You might even own banks. But you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Can you say amen? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. It's a strong word. Doulos. Doulos of Jesus Christ. It means bond slave. You know what a bond slave was? It means I owe a debt, and I got to serve this master till the debt is paid. And Paul said, I can never pay this debt, but I can serve him with everything I am and everything I have for as long as I live. And when he got down to the end of his life, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course, and I'm ready to be offered up. And that offered up will take you in reference to the Old Testament drink offering that was poured out before the Lord in the temple. And it was poured until it was absolutely empty, until every drop. And Paul said, every drop of my life and being is being poured out on. We need a church, praise God, that wants to be a living sacrifice. Not just a church member, but a servant of the Most High God. Listen. Romans 6:16, make no mistake about it, whoever you yield your members servants to obey, his servant you are whom you obey. Come on, let's get down to business. This is where people spend eternity. We can't play with this. Can you say, man, this is the serious part of the service right now. Whoever you choose, you say, I'd rather have my flaky friends. If I identify with Jesus there, will I lose my friends? Will I have to give up my friends? No, live for Christ. They'll give you up. You'll find out they're not that important. Your soul is more important than their friendship. If you would give your life to Jesus, maybe you could win them to Christ. Maybe they could go to heaven with you instead of hell without you. But make no mistake about it. If you don't want to go to heaven with me, I'm not going to hell to be with you. If you knew the way of salvation, every day of eternity in hell, they're going to be tearing at you for not telling them the truth or showing them the truth. You knew the way. You could have helped me avoid this place. But you wanted my hand clap. You wanted my embrace more than you wanted his love and his sacrifice and his salvation. The reason there's weeping and gnashing of teeth is because everyone in hell is going to know that there was some time in their life that they had a window of opportunity that they made a choice about. Someone asked me about the seven deadly sins when I first became a bivocational years ago. They asked me about the seven deadly sins, you know, adultery and murder and gluttony. Somehow we've come up with this number seven. And they said, what about the seven deadly sins? I guess what they wanted to hear was if we can get it down reduced to seven, that could put you in jeopardy. It leaves me, you know, if I can take care of those seven, I got 1,450 over here that I can get by with and still go to heaven. I said, there's one. There's one. There is one. There is one. Brother Bimbo, which sin? There's only one sin that will damn your soul. One. One. The Savior is here. The blood has been shed. The gospel is being preached. Jesus needs to answer that. Not a denomination, not a preacher, not a clergyman. It's about souls and where they spend eternity. We better listen to Jesus. Let no man deceive you by any means. Neither the fornicator, the idolater, the effeminate, the abuser of himself with mankind hath any part in the kingdom of God. Don't let a man tell you you're okay when God says you're wrong. The man isn't going to judge you. God is. And the word of God is going to be the criteria by which he judges. If I were you, I'd get in that book. If I were you, I'd let that book get in me. Can you say, man, it's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your pathway. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm not afraid of the truth because I know what it's going to do if I receive it. It's going to set me free from deception. It's going to set me free from Satan's enslavement and sin's bondage. It's going to set me free. I love being free. This is how it feels to be free. I don't go home and negotiate with God. I want it done today. I'll choose light over darkness. Freedom over slavery. Christ over sin. I've sinned. Jesus is better. I've been there. This is better. Wow. Whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, his servants you are. Every time we preach about some works, not earning salvation, but showing that true salvation has occurred, we get legalism thrown in our face. Honey, I don't like legalism. The Bible said, listen, he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Free to go out and sin your head off and serve Satan? No. Free to. Why did he bring him out of bondage? Why did he bring them out of Egypt? He said that they might serve me and worship me in the wilderness. Not that they might live, amen, like slaves the rest of their life, but they might demonstrate freedom by doing what? Doing their own thing? No, serving their God. He brought them out that they might serve him and worship him in the wilderness. Can you say, man, he delivered us that we might serve him. Hallelujah. And not serve Satan anymore. Praise God. Amen. He has translated us out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God. Amen. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A churchgoer. You know, he's a new creation. And something happens with his values. Something happens with his attitude, the way he looks at things. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. We used to sing in the church where I first came to Christ. Amen. I looked at my feet and they looked new. I looked at my hands and they did too. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Hallelujah. Baptism. We're slain with him, identified with his death and burial. But we are also raised with him. To do what? Walk in the newness of life. Woo! Walk in the newness. Walking in the newness. Not walking in that same old sinful enslaved past, but walking in the newness. Amen. Anybody know anything here about walking in the newness of life? I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Old things are passed away. All things are new today. Praise God. Amen. This liberty is so glorious. I stand fast in the liberty where we, listen, all things are lawful for me, but everything is not expedient for me. And I don't serve that master. I'm not looking for how to get around. I got to finish this. It's almost over. So many people are looking for how far can I push the envelope and still get to heaven. Little boy answered it. He said, I want to serve the devil while I'm living. And Jesus when I die.
I want to serve Satan. No, you can't have it that way. You got to make a choice. You have to choose. It's not upwards, but you have to choose. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. For you will love one and hate the other. Hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means not just the wealth you accumulate. It's the self-indulgence. That desire, if I get all this wealth, I can indulge my flesh with every desire. You can't serve two masters. We're trying to do it. Preachers say it can be done. God says you cannot. You're not going to answer to that denomination, that holy conclave. You're not going to be judged by what they decide at some gathering of presbyters. You're going to be judged by the Word of God. When you draw your last breath, it's you and God, honey, not you and your denomination, not you and your priest, not you and your preacher. And I'm going to answer for you. And you may hunt a church, and many already have, where they can sit in their sin and feel comfortable. But you can't sit in your sin here. Why? Because I'm going to point your finger at you? No. In fact, if you're making a face at me right now, I'll try to preach it to somebody else. I don't like looking at ugly. Amen? I really don't. And God told me, God told Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. Once I give you the word, don't even see how they're responding to it, or you'll get confused. Amen. I'll start trying to convince somebody, making the ugly face, instead of letting the Holy Spirit convict them. And I'll never convince them, but He can convict them. And that's another reason people go. They get convicted. One lady told me, paid us a great compliment here. She said, I don't go to Brother Vimble's very often. She said this. She said, because every time I go there, I get convicted. I thought, well, clean your life up. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. You won't have to worry about getting convicted. But if you are here and you're a Christian, get convicted. It's a wonderful time to deal with that sin. Let God forgive it and get cleaned up and get ready for the soon coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go home with peace in your heart. Play in church. A losing game. Amen. When the Son sets free, is really free. Set them free that they might what? Serve me and worship me in the wilderness. Paul, a doulos, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. You know why he saw himself that way and gave himself away? The Bible said, you are bought with a price, and you are not your own. Now that's the fact that God has bought you with the blood of Jesus, but you've still got to give yourself away to Him. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you would love Him, respect Him enough to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, bond slave, servant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And be no more conformed to this world. Literally, in the paraphrase, don't let the world shove you into its mold. Don't let it shove its values down your throat. You have been translated into a different kingdom. You serve a different king. You have a different father. Hallelujah. Amen. After World War II, Brother Taylor, those big four-engine bombers, propeller-propelled bombers. They were still in the military. They sold them to independent contractors. They stripped all that weaponry off of them and the bomb bays and the bomb doors, and they used them for hauling commercial freight because they could hold thousands of pounds of freight. And you know what they called? Yeah, B-29. You know what they called them? Converted bombers. Why did they call them converted bombers? Because they had a brand new purpose now. Can you say amen? They had been transformed for a whole different purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's something in the Christian faith that we need to get back to called conversion. Can you say amen? When a man is converted, amen, he's a new creature. He's changed from the inside out. He has a new bent toward righteousness. He has a new king. He has a new value system. He's in a different kingdom. His love and allegiance is to Christ. And he doesn't miss the world. I don't miss the sin. I've been there. It does not satisfy. Rolling Stone magazine 10 years ago, Brad Pitt, one of the most envied movie stars. They're interviewing him in the Rolling Stone. They said, how does it feel being Brad Pitt? Because now he's kind of made it. He's not trying to become a star, trying to achieve. He's there. He commands millions of dollars per movie just because his name is going to bring people to the theater. And Brad Pitt answered candidly. You know what he said in quoting from Rolling Stone? People think I have it made. He said, I don't even know what it is. What an honest answer from a man with everything. He's got Jolena. Is that her name? Angelina. He's got a mansion. He's got looks. He's got muscle. He's athletic. He's successful. And he don't know what it is. Do we know what it is? Is it just church and the practice of religion? Or is it a salvation? Hallelujah, that sets you free. Yes. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not for self-indulgent, for your flesh or your body, but it's righteousness. It's peace. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Brad Pitt don't have it. We do. Righteousness. Right with God. If God be for you, who can be against you? Satan can't condemn you because God has forgiven you. What more shall we say to these things? This is the final answer. If God is for me, who can point a finger at me? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that has been raised from the dead. Someone said, fear God, you need fear nothing else. Not death and no one. Hallelujah. To fear God means to reverence Him with awe and affection. Hallelujah. I love Him today. I want to see people go to heaven. Hallelujah. I just don't want to see numbers in the church. I want to see people go to heaven. I want to stand at a funeral of someone who's accepted Jesus and begin to tell where they are and what they're experiencing and to know that they were truly saved. Can you say, man? I want everybody else to know in that building that you've got to come to Jesus to get there. You can't go there on your merit. You can't go. There's no back door to heaven. I am the way. He said the truth and the life. Hallelujah. A good home going. Praise God. Amen. When I go home, I told my wife, if there's one thing I ask. I ask that you take 7 white balloons with helium. They don't have to be big. But somebody hold them suckers until they say the last thing they're going to say. And they say, you know, whatever they do, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, whatever they do. And, you know, they get that done. And as soon as it's done, turn loose those 7 white balloons. Amen. So that everyone from that point is not looking down in that hole in the ground, but they're looking up at seven white balloons headed heaven. Amen. That's my request, because that's what Funeral for a Christian ought to be all about. And make no mistake about it today, I have made a choice. Amen. I've chose light over darkness. I've chose God over Satan. I've chose to be persecuted with Christ rather than be embraced by a bunch of folks in this world that I think I can't do without. Honey, you need Jesus today. And if you make a friend of Jesus, you won't have to worry about that bunch. You don't even fraternize with them anymore. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's stronger than that. In the Greek, it's actually saying evil companionships corrupt good morals. If you can't win them to Christ, you're going to have to compromise to run with them. So either they'll come to Jesus or they're going to pull you away. Stay with Jesus. It's your soul. It's your future. It's your eternity. Don't sell it out for their friendship. It's too precious. Too precious. Amen. Amen. Nothing is worth your undying eternal soul. And make no mistake about it, that's what's on the line. It's not whether or not you get that job you want or that money you want. It's where you spend eternity. And that's why Jesus stayed on that cross. Because he knew the gravity of what was at stake. Can you say amen? And I owe him. I'm purchased with a price, and we're going to celebrate that price in just a moment. Nothing less than the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a bond slave. Can you say, man, I'm a bond slave? Hallelujah. I can never pay that debt, but I can love him with all that I am and all that I have and serve him to the last day and last breath. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered up. Drink offering is what he was referring to. They understood when you pour it out, you don't stop pouring till the last drop. Hallelujah. This is a sacrifice offering. Praise God. I want an epitaph. Amen. When you have a little brush with death like that, not just paralysis, amen, it made me reassess what I'm doing for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to play church. The Bible said that redeeming the time, the days are evil. Can you say, man, we can't waste a moment. We must be about our Father's business. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If this church don't grow, God show us what will grow. Can you say amen? Come on, I want this one too. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to wait and see. I'm set on doing something significant with the rest of my life for Christ. Can you say amen? If they don't come out of this community, show us another community. Show us an outreach. Show us a door. Can you say amen? Because we want to be about our Father's business. I want the last drop to know that I have served God with everything I have and everything that I am. Hallelujah. I'm not holding anything back. I want you back here. We love you. We love to see people come in, but I will not cut the word to have you in this congregation. I will not circumvent the truth to have you. I will not soothe you and salve you. If you're wrong with God, you need to get right with God. It's more important than anything in the world. Can you say amen? And when you get right with God, you'll have the peace with God and the peace of God and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you can serve God with joy instead of it being a job. Let me close with this. So many people ask me these questions. I said, there's one sin that will damn your soul. One, Jesus said, this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. Light, truth, illumination. The Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin, convicted of sin, and to show and illuminate. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. It starts with illumination. Seeing your lost condition and seeing who Jesus is in the offer of salvation. You got to see it. That's why he opens the eyes of the blind. That's why you talk to people that are not illuminated, and no matter how accurate you are biblically and astute you are verbally, you cannot convince them. But if God opens their eyes, they'll see it. And once they see it, they have to choose it. They that were with him in the book of Revelation were chosen. They were and faithful. Hallelujah. If you choose him, he's already chose you to be saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Light has come into this world, but men love darkness better than light. They said, I'd rather have my sin than his salvation. I'd rather have my sin than his deliverance. I'd rather have my sin than to live eternally in heaven. I want what the little boy wanted. I want to live for the devil my whole life and enjoy my sin. But I want to be a servant of Jesus when I draw my last breath. Can't have it that way. You've got to choose. You've got to make a choice. And those that chose darkness went deeper into the darkness. In fact, I can give you scripture where he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Because when they knew the truth, they would not choose the truth, but chose the lie over the truth. He allowed them to believe a lie and be damned. This is a terminal sin. Can you say amen? The concept of a God that judges sin is gone in the church. So sinners want to keep it while going to church. They're quite content to sit in church without dealing with their sin. God is never content to have one of his children enslaved by the devil. Because not only are they headed in the wrong direction, they're going to take other people with them. Can you say amen? Oh, I'm serious about this today. I'll tell you, when Holy Ghost revival comes, truth will reign. Amen. People won't run from God. They'll run to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Close with this. Have our communion. Are you glad we're getting this? This is so important. I can't cut this for time's sake. This is the Lord's day. So we treat it like that. This is a true story. A millionaire that lived on top of a hill overlooking a city. I don't know if it was San Paulo, Brazil, where it was, but it was almost a mountain. He lived on the top of it because then he could be secured from people poking around, looking around. He could live in a little bit of anonymity, though he was a billionaire. He's raising a daughter. She has to go down the mountain to go to school, and they wanted her in public school because they didn't want her to grow up the little rich kid isolated. They wanted her to learn how to interact with society and people, and so they would send her down to the school at the foot of this mountain. And so he began to interview. He had a Mercedes Benz or whatever cars he had, a Bentley, but he wanted a driver. He had the safest car he could buy, but he wanted a driver. And he interviewed three men that had already been screened, and his personal secretary had narrowed it down to three men that she thought one of them may qualify. So one of them, the first one he interviewed, he was a city bus driver. He drove a bus for the city and retired from driving the bus for the city. He said, I've been traveling like you would not believe. I've been in situations that somebody pulled out in front of you. You had to be ready for anything at any time and be ready to adapt and think of the safety of your passengers. So the billionaire said, if you're taking my daughter down this mountain, there's some twists and turns where there's drop-offs. How close do you think you could come to the guardrail and still be safe? He said, I'm a professional driver. I've done it for years. He said, I could come within 2 feet of the guardrail and still be safe. He said, thank you very much. Will you please wait outside? Next man that come in was a professional race car driver that had retired from driving for representing some, you know, company. And he said, I've driven race cars. I'm a professional driver. I know I can get your daughter down this mountain safe. He said, well, let me ask you the question. He said, how close could you come to those guardrails and still keep my daughter safe? He said, I could come within 1 foot and your daughter would never be in any danger at all. He said, thank you. Would you please wait outside? Then another guy come in. He didn't have any professional background. But you know what he said? He said, I got 7 kids. I got 7 kids. He said, they holler and scream and carry on. Had to threaten them all the time. He said, on top of 7 kids, I got 3 dogs. He said, when we go somewhere in that my station wagon, said, we got 3 dogs and 7 kids. He said, I got to keep my eye on the road. I got to stay focused with all this chaos going on. He said, but most precious cargo in my life is in the back of my station wagon. And he said, I keep my eyes on the road. He said, well, sir, I want to ask you a question. How close do you think you could come to those guardrails going down this mountain and still be safe? He said, sir, I wouldn't get near those guardrails. He said, you're hired. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Honey, when you really get saved, you're not asking, how far can I live from God and still go to heaven? You're asking, how can I stay close to Him? There's where the safety is. There's where the security is. There's where the love is. There's where the devotion is. And there's where the Christian is. Wow. I love Him today. I thank Him today. Who would have thought that a lamb could redeem the souls of men? Sometimes I feel like I move out of preacher to beggar, trying to plead with people to come to Christ. And sometimes when I do that, and I would get on my hands and knees if I thought it would help. But I believe God gets ashamed of me when I beg people to give up sin for Him and to give up sin to be saved. You shouldn't just come to an altar. You should run to an altar. With every head held up and every eye open, I call people to Christ. No more of this secret stuff. For I'm embarrassed to identify with Jesus. Everyone he called publicly. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'm ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. But if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Honey, if they don't like it. I pulled in yesterday. How many know Halloween is coming? And now you see the commercials. You know, you've seen the one with the lizard. What's his name? The little lizard. Geico, I guess. No, it might be Progressive. I don't know. Anyway, they got this thing going. How happy are you once you get that insurance? It's one of the commercials. And there's this factory. It's a broom factory. And there's this witch on a broom, and she's flying this way, just chattering her head off and flying back and flying this way and then flying back and flying. And she comes down and stops and grabs a man sweeping up, and she grabs the broom out of his hand, takes off flying again, cackling. And then it goes to these two guys saying, how happy are the people that got our insurance? Happy as a witch in a broom factory. Can you say amen? And then, you know, they play their little thing. It's a very catchy commercial. But speaking of witches, I was in Lowe's parking lot Friday afternoon. And I'm behind a little, you know, mini SUV. And it's talking about my God is nature. And I know what's coming next. You know, we're talking about Wicca and witchcraft. And so anyway, it said on there, yes. See, it's almost like, yeah, I think that probably is a real deal right there. They're probably into what they call white magic, but it's all the devil. But anyway, I'm behind it, and I'm looking at the bumper sticker, and I'm looking at the side sticker, and it says, yes, I am a witch. And underneath it said, deal with it. And I thought, where's my bumper sticker? Yes, I am a Christian. Amen. Deal with it. Can you say amen? Just deal with it, because I'm not going to change for this world and all that it offers. Can you say me? Because I know what it is. It is not an it, it's a him, and his name is Jesus. Can you say me? And I wouldn't trade places with Brad Pitt today. I'd rather have Pamela. Oh, skinny mini, need a hamburger, Angelini. Somebody go out and get her. Amen. man, something to eat. Praise God. Amen. Listen, I'd rather have Pamela. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have the kingdom of God than the riches of this world. I'm not ashamed of this gospel or the one that I serve. Praise God. You have to make a choice. You have to come to Christ. You have to receive Him. You have to repent of your sin. That's not works. That's a choice that has to be made. If you choose darkness over light, God honors your free will enough to let you go on into that darkness. He'll let you go. But if you choose Christ, hell can't hold you back. The gates can't prevail. The demons can't win. So wonderful to know Jesus today. How many have chosen to follow Jesus? Praise God. Walk it out. Walk that out in your daily life. And God will be with you every step of the way. Brothers, sisters, whoever, would you serve us Holy Communion today? Thank you for staying this long. Hallelujah. This is so important because souls are on the line. We don't add to the church to meet budgets. We don't add to the church to build buildings. We don't add to the church so the pastor can get a better salary, live in a better home. The Lord adds to the church such as should be saved. Can you say amen? Bring that up. Let's worship. Let's get ready for communion. You've got two eyes to watch this lady and this man sing. Be grateful today that you've seen the glory of the gospel.
Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace.
Yes, Jesus.
You
the lost.
You give the healing and grace.
Send them here to hear the gospel. Bowing to no other.
Falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Hearts
always hunger for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask before we receive communion, is there anyone here today that you need to choose light over darkness? You need to do it today before you leave this room. Is there someone here that needs to make a choice? Would you just lift your hand and let God see it? You want to choose Christ. You want Jesus as your Savior. Anyone in this building? I'm going to ask a second question. You're here. You're a Christian. You have chosen light over darkness. And you want to make a fresh, devoted commitment to walk in that light as He is in that light. You want to make a devoted commitment to walk out your choice in your life, that others might see you and me as a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Declaring, I'm a Christian, deal with it, because this is too important to compromise. Can you say amen? Anyone here, I want to make a fresh commitment. Thank God for this hand, for that hand, for that hand, for that hand, for these hands, for these hands. I myself am making a fresh commitment to walk, Brother Taylor, in that light. Praise God. Hallelujah. As He is in the light. Praise the Lord. And the reason that I'm making a devoted commitment and trying to deepen it every day of my life is because He picked up that bread that night. And He said, as He broke it, as He tore it in half, He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for allowing them to beat you like they did, to nail you to a cross. And I want to thank you for staying on it when every fiber of your being cried to be released from that pain and torture. I remember you dying for me. You may eat the bread. After He put the bread down, they're astonished at what He said. They don't get it yet. They will very, very soon. He walked over to the table. He picked up. There's four cups sitting there. The third cup, all the Bible scholars, that particularly Messianic Jews, agree, it's called the cup of redemption. He picked up the third cup in the Passover meal. And He said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He come. And that word show meant to openly proclaim. We're proclaiming through this Holy Communion, this Lord's Supper, that we are saved because of what Jesus has done through His broken body and His poured out blood. And we love Him and we serve Him because of that. You may drink this cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It seems like every time it gets sweeter to me. I feel so ready to go to heaven when He calls, Brother Taylor. Hallelujah. I feel so close to Him right now, whom my soul loves. And I just want to share His love and show His love to everybody that I can influence in any way. I can't choose for you, but I can let you know what choice I have made and let you know the joy and peace and power it gives to my heart and my life and my soul. Will you stand to your feet? Let's prepare to give Him praise as we leave. Are you glad you came today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you glad you came today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you came. Praise the Lord. And if you receive the word into good ground, you're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. And guess what happens when you do that? The blood of Jesus that has redeemed you, that now claims you, amen, keeps you free. Keeps you free. Praise God from the entanglements of sin and the enslavement of Satan. Praise God. Oh, by the way, when you leave here, I hope you took this with your spiritual staff in your hand. Praise God. This is your heavenly Father. You have access to him. He has access to you. Praise the Lord. He's going to answer prayers. He's going to move for you, and he's going to move for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift him up in song before we leave here today. Amen. Maybe next week, Lord providing, we're going to move back into a little different pattern of how we do this. But God is so good today, and we've given him the praise. Let's just give him a praise right now.
Mysterious and unknown,
Jesus, we worship you.
Love, unfailing in grace and mercy show. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight around your glorious throne.
Thank you, Jesus.
They raise their voices day and night in praise to you alone. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Glory be to our great God.
You're the worthy one, Lord.
Glory be.
There is none above you.
Great God.
Lord, we are weak and praying, helpless in storm.
That's okay.
Surround us with your
ready, you can leave. We thank you for coming, but we want to worship just a little while. I'm so hungry for him.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And every creature in the sea and every flying bird.
Jesus.
Let every mountain, every field,
yes,
and valley.
Let all the moons and all the stars in all the universe,
my God,
sing praises to the living God who rules them by his word.
We magnify your name. Hallelujah. There's healing for you today. There's help for you today. There's deliverance for you today. Glory to God. Lord, add to the church people you prepare for salvation. That's our Father's business.